Welcome back, everybody, to School Spirit here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNew. I appreciate everybody joining us today. And we are back with our fourth session with Miss Hillary Caceres and Miss Sally Waterfield with the Smart Families Program. I'll remind everybody, if you missed some or all of our first three conversations, they are available on our website, armorofgodradio.com. Just click on that schedule tab and it'll pull up the where all the podcasts are for School Spirit and for all of our programs for that matter. But all of the Smart Family stuff is this our sessions are up there for you to download and listen whenever you have the time or to re-listen them to them with your kids and your the rest of your family and friends and send those out to everybody. Send the link out to everybody. Send the link to Smart Families out to everybody. In your family and in your school, we know that the schools here, or the Catholic schools here in our footprint, are all very involved in this program, and they are all very excited. I know the parents are very excited about this, and so the more people know about it, the safer we can all be. So, Miss Hillary, Miss Sally, thank you very much for joining us again this morning.
Thank you for having us there again.
Yes, thank you. We're very excited to be back.
Yeah. So just to kind of recap with everybody, last week we kind of talked about, and I'm using air quotes, building the break, the way the brain works, and some of that functionality. And today we're going to jump into the particular aspects of the program, the Smart Families program, and specifically the community norms. And I'm going to introduce all four of these, and then, ladies, I'm going to let you just, I'm going to hand the ball off and let y'all run with it as far as you want to. So, the four community norms: prioritize your family and your values, delay smartphones until high school, delay social media until age 16, and no phones used in schools. I think each of these. We could probably spend a 30 minutes on each one of these if we wanted to. And so we'll talk about as with in as much detail as the two of you want to go with. So I'll turn it over to y'all.
Let's do that. Let's do it. We're happy to dive in deep. And I think that's actually that exact sentiment is how Smart Families likes to function. We like to dive in deep into your community and provide as much education, empowerment, and encouragement for everybody in the community. So part of Smart Families and these four norms is that we contract with schools. It is an actual contracted program for 3 years. And part of that is we provide educational presentations and events, not just for the parents, but for the teachers and for the students and for families to come together. And they are all based around those four community norms. We believe that everybody in the community needs to hear a similar messaging for it really to make an impact. And part of our program is we have content for K through 8. And pre-Kers are going to hear a little bit different than what an eighth grader is going to hear, but it all is going to fall under that same umbrella. And then we also have program offerings for high schoolers, but again, falling under the same umbrella. And if you look at the first community norm, it's prioritize your family and your family values. When we contract with a school, we do ask the school to implement these norms within their community. So this is also going to be something that your principals are clear of, and they understand it's an expectation across the board. And when you look at prioritizing your family and your family values, one of the things that we do is we host what's called a family meal or a family dinner, where parents sit down with their families and they create a family code. And I'd love for Sally to talk a little bit about that. She's the one who does the majority of our family codes, along with some other staff members. And we're going to give you some great insight on the research behind why it is so important to families to sit down, have dinner with their children, and talk about what is important to them.
Yeah, so I always joke that I'm the why person. As the parent to teenagers, this word features a lot in my life. And so We love to explain and really delve into these norms and tell parents and share with them why we have chosen these specific norms. And I always, kind of my personal interpretation is that the prioritizing your family feels like my umbrella norm in a world where everything else can give the illusion of being a priority, whether it's the emails or the alerts or the social media. Whereas I know that God gave me my family and that is my priority. And when I started to do some research about how families really operate and the things that make strong families and who are the most successful families, really what I found was it was this piece about connection. And the research tells us that when families share with their children what their family values are, and these family values are spoken about often, they are frequently revisited, they have some really good intentional conversations about their family values. We know from research that this actually helps a child to choose to not engage in risky behavior. So think of it a bit like a little buffer zone. So when a child is in a position, maybe they feel the temptation for something, they've been invited to do something or try something or see something. When a child is secure in their family values, it helps them to regulate their choices and it helps them to use that part of the brain, the frontal lobe, which helps them think about consequences because it gives them enough time to pause and think, you know what? This is against my family values, whether it's, and we do this great really workshop with families where we talk about, well, what is a family value? Because I know most parents, if you ask them to define a family value, would be a little bit stumped and think, oh, I don't really know how to. Really, we talk about these are the behaviors that anchor your children and anchor you in your beliefs and your behaviors and your choices. And so we provide a whole list of what family values could be so that parents can go through these with their children and understand what are these family values. So there's kind of the why and why we do this as one of our, workshops to help with this norm. And so families will come together, smart families provide dinner. It's this beautiful time where parents can just sit at a table with no distractions. They talk about what are their family values. And then they talk about what are some of the risky behaviors that we're aware of or that you know about that we will say no to. And then we talk about the why and why do we say no to them? So it's this really great, just safe, intimate space where parents can have these very open, honest conversations with their children. And we're very specific. We tell these parents, you let your children lead this conversation. You want to know what do they know? And so kind of under this umbrella of prioritizing your family, it just really demonstrates that to the children. It shows these children that you are my priority. I want to know these things about your life. And then it just is that really nice bonding time too. So that's really the piece with family values. And just to share a personal story with this. So here at Smart Families, we attend all of our events. We've attended the events with our own children. And it was at one of these events where I was attending with my family and my son, who was 11 at the time. We sat at the table, we talked about our family values, we worked through and we identified them. And then when we got to the piece where I said, what do we say no to? What activities would really go against our family values? And my 11-year-old, my sweet 11-year-old said, well, we say no to self-harm. Now, I, in that moment, I mean, I was so shocked because this was something that I had no idea that he knew anything about. It had not been a conversation in our home. It hadn't been a conversation, it had come from outside of our family unit. And
Sure.
he had this time to formulate some thoughts around this behavior. And so it was during this workshop, it was during this family dinner, this family values event that we host, that we were able to totally reframe that for him. And talk about where did he find this information and really just speak truth into him, anchored in our personal beliefs, our, just trust and faith in God for always being there for us, that we were just able to help him. So, and we hear this time and time again. So, we're very intentional with the kinds of events that we have for families to engage in, just to help them really see that prioritizing is the best thing we can do for our family.
Well, Sally, that brings up such an important point, and I love that you share that story about your son. A lot of parents are not aware to the content that their children are being exposed to online. And it's a very, very scary place. And I can understand as a parent myself that I don't sit behind my child and look at everything she might look at on an iPad when she's allowed to go on it. And the little messages that they pick up on and the seeds that those plant, that we don't want planted in our children's brain. But it is happening over and over and over again. And a lot of those seeds definitely do not align with what a family value would look like. And so we challenge parents to open up that conversation to hear what they may have come up with as being something important or allowed or okay, such as self-harm, that a parent may not even realize the child has heard and it's stuck with them. And thankfully, in Sally's case, her son has said, we say no to it. But there are definitely children who are turning around and seeing it over and over again, and they might start thinking, oh, this is actually okay. This is something that other children are doing so often that I think it's an okay thing, right? But unless the mom or the dad literally specifically says, we say no to that, that child can grow up and having a false understanding of what is a good moral or good value or a good action to take in life. And so on our website, under the information tab, we actually have an area called Family Values. We want every family to be able to do this in their home. They can go onto our site, they can download those documents. There's a list of values that you can talk about with your children. And you can break them into the different categories. And then ultimately, you make a certificate that says, in our family, we say yes to, and then why. And I have that certificate printed out and framed, and it sits next to my kitchen table as a really gentle reminder of what we talked about in our family. And I encourage anybody who might be listening, just it does not need to be fancy. Just on a random Tuesday night, if you have an extra half hour, do this with your children. Your husband or wife may not be totally on board in the beginning as well, but that's okay. That's okay. It takes one person, one parent to sit down and take this initiative. It doesn't take long. But what we're seeing today, children are being more influenced by the content they are seeing than their family. The pendulum has shifted, and we need to bring the pendulum back. We are given one major responsibility in life as parents, and is to protect our children. And the best way to do that is to talk to them. And so we love this umbrella of our norm because it allows us to kind of do some beautiful things with parents. But the family dinner and writing the family code is our keynote event for all of our year one schools, but it's available to anybody who goes on our website.
And I
Just
think
some.
let me just if you don't mind here.
Yeah.
So I think this is an important point. We often talk about the church talks a lot about modeling our behavior and living a Christ-like life. And but it's important, I think, for us to have these conversations. And as you said, Hillary, to print out these norms. And our children need to understand, a 10-year-old doesn't really understand, some of these kind of overarching concepts that form our values, and taking that time to really understand this is what it means to, as you mentioned, Sally, this is what self-harm actually is. And despite what you may or may not see on the interwebs, and this is one of these things that we want to continue to say no. And I love the idea of having it printed out and put up on the wall right next to the Ten Commandments and your picture of the Last Supper there around your family dinner table. And again, because that I think that continues to reinforce to all of the people in the family, not just the kids, but all of us, that we really have to have these conversations on a regular basis about what these family values are. Sally, you were gonna chime in here, something else. I cut you off. I probably
No, it's
apologize.
okay. I love what you just shared. I was really just going to follow on from Hillary with a little bit, some more of the neuroscience piece and the angle on that, because typically around adolescence, what we would neurologically expect is that these teenagers are going to gravitate more towards their peers. Like we see this research study show this over and over again during adolescence. It's just when children are more socially vulnerable to, they want to align to their peers rather than their parents. Now, the good news is eventually it flips back and it goes back to the parents. But what happens during that little window when you start to see your child value their peers' opinions more than what you're trying to do is there's this misunderstanding that parents think, oh, well, I need to lean out then. I need to let them be independent and I need to not really be involved in the things that they're doing, or I shouldn't be watching the things that they're, watching online. And we hear a lot of this idea of privacy, now that they are these adolescents. And we truly believe that this is the exact time in a child's life that we need to be leaning in. Even if they're telling you to back off, we know we've talked about the brain development. Their brains are not fully developed until age 25. It is so important that we remain involved in their lives. I heard somebody say recently, children spell love, LOVE, TIME. And it is so important for children to see that you are investing that time in them, even when they can sometimes feel like they're rejecting you and they don't want to have your input in things. It's really, really critical that we still lean in for these children.
We also have this these really cute white plastic boxes with our logo on them. They're not big, smaller than almost a shoebox. And we hand them out at some of our school events, and people kind of look at us and they're like, why is this here? This really looks like a strange, promotional product, as the typical koozie or pen or something like that. And I said, and in it is a postcard that says dinner time conversation, or something, or 10 dinner discussion topics or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But, and I explained to parents, we want you to put this next to your dinner table. We want you to put your phones into these boxes, and we want you to then sit down and enjoy dinner with your family without an interruption. And why I think it's so important for parents to try and do that today is you don't realize the message that it sends to your child in putting that item aside that we know is pulling us as well. We feel that manipulation and saying, no, you are my priority right now. For any child to feel special in their eyes of their parent, that love is what will guide them through difficult times, because they'll know my mom, my dad loves me so much. Even though I've just messed up, I know I can go to them. And so that message of that family dinner and that uninterrupted time where they are being shown they are the priority sends huge messages to the children. And I also see it a lot of parents with older children, middle school going into high school, is what you do at the dinner table is what you're going to see in a couple of years on the other end of it. So if you don't want your teenager on their phone during dinner, what's really easy thing that you can do? It's like, well, put your phone away. And this may cause many arguments amongst husbands and wives. I'm not clear of that in my household as well. And my kids call me out sometimes if I pick up my phone and I have a silly excuse as to why I needed to do it. So I love those opportunities. But the messaging alone, you need to make sure your children are seeing a behavior that you want them to emulate, but they're also feeling that strong family nucleus that nothing can break you. You are the most important human beings to them. And that bond is so strong that when evil does come into their lives, it's okay because you have this foundation that's been established, and the best place for it is at family dinner table.
Yeah, you on your website now you talk about these family values, and I love how you've broken it out, and you've really kind of made it very, very user friendly. And you're not, I think sometimes parents get a little intimidated. You just need to have this conversation. Well, I don't even know where to start, and this is a great place. How did you come up with, there's eight different little kind of categories, for lack of a better term. How did y'all come up with those categories?
Sally, that was like 2 years ago, I think, and when we first started doing our family codes. And this is something I'm sure we did some research on, and I'm
Think what
beginning to think I don't remember exactly. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I think what's funny is that we put this page on all of the tables, and you can see it on our website. And the children will sit with their parents and they'll start going through. And then before they know it, they've decided that every single one on that page is their family value. They have
That's
like
true.
a whole
Yeah.
page full. And so we started to break them down into groups. And then we asked them really to talk through the ones that maybe the children have never heard of, because that might be a
Yeah.
family value. They just don't know how to define it yet. So we talk about those ones. We talk about having age-appropriate values. There may be a value that is just fundamental in your family. You know, love God. We hear that one in every school we go in. It's just this fundamental value. But then, as children get older, maybe different values start to become more relevant. And so we've just kind of broken them up. One of my biggest things that I share is this is not a one and done. So we want to give you enough information so that you can keep revisiting this. So work through a set of values, maybe during a family dinner. What is the definition? How do we see that exemplified? Are there behaviors or things that you've seen that go against this value? And then just keep repeating the conversation, then choose another group and work through those. I think the more vocabulary that we give these children to be able to have these discussions, the more that they'll know if something is violating or going against one of their family values, if we've kind of talked about them all. So it's exhaustive, but strategic. And we wanted just to have enough that parents could continue to revisit this and make this a frequent activity.
And to give a visual, it's so simple, but let's say, for example, your family picks, we don't curse. And you talk about that because it's something that's it comes up in conversation. Well, if a child happens to be online or in a situation where someone is dropping just terrible language, that seed all of a sudden was planted in the back of their head someplace, and they're like, oh my gosh, I remember that dinner, and mom was very clear that she does not like cursing. You know, although I'm not cursing, someone else is, and maybe this is something I need to kind of step away from. And so it's so simple, yet it's not happening. Like it happens, but not enough and not clear enough. And again, I think to nobody's fault, parents are just not aware of the broad spectrum of content that kids are seeing inadvertently. You know, due to the way that the technology is established, you watch one video on cute kittens, you watch two or three more, and then next thing you're into a murder scene of like seven kittens in a situation that does not look very nice. And so, and that's not the child's fault, and that's not the parent's fault, but you know, you're not always thinking about that as a parent. You're not always assuming that your 9-year-old is going to go into this terrible space purposely. It just sort of happens. And so that's why it's really nice to kind of plant those seeds very clearly with them.
Yeah, I love the idea that, on this little handout that there's just a kind of this list of ideas, but it's certainly not, we're not limited to what's on that page. And the idea of going through and kind of explaining to your 5 and 6 year old what stewardship is, which is a word I'm sure that many of them have not ever heard before. And so kind of just having that conversation, around the dinner table or wherever about that particular value.
And when I was in my classroom, what I would see, you know, I always feel so blessed to have been given such a privileged view of family life as a teacher. You know, over the years, I've seen families operate and just grow in so many different ways. And what I would often see would be parents would believe they were kind of instilling these family values, but what it would look like would be corrective behavior statements. So a child had done something and then they would correct the behavior, and in there somewhere there would be a family value, but not very explicitly known. And I think the statistic is 7 out of 10 parents believe that, you know, they think they speak about family values with their children and within their family, but only 3 out of 10 families ever write them down. And so that's not a lot of families. And so when parents sit and have this time together with their children and they talk about values and, you know, they create this feeling of priority. A lot of the time, children kind of have that moment where they're like, oh, okay, so that's our family value, because they've seen everything around it. They just haven't been given the word for it. And so it kind of just helps sift out some of that noise, and it's just very intentional.
And we hear from a lot of families that come into our events and stuff where they already know in their hearts, like Sally said, it's in there. It's just bringing it to the forefront. And what aligns with this norm and our other four norms is the word no. And when you sit down and you have a conversation and you tell your child, this is something that we do say no to, it helps build up again the sense that the parents are the primary influence in the family. And that is very difficult today, I think, when there's so much pressure that parents are facing to do so much for their children. But yet, is it what they want for their child? Is it truly something that they believe will help their hearts flourish as a human being? And so it's a chance for the parent to really think, what do I want in this household? What do I want my child to cherish and pay attention to in life? And we don't, as parents, myself as a mom, I pray, I spend time just reflecting, but nobody really sets that time apart daily to think, did I schedule enough events today for my child that aligns with some of my values? Did I put in time for us to sit down and pray and talk about how was their day? What went wrong? What went right? What did you learn? Was there a message from God? We have a lot of busy calendars these days, but a lot of which really don't bring in those messages that we should be doing. And so it's a good opportunity for a mom and for a dad to think hard about who they are as a parent, but then putting them back in that driver's seat. It's like, no, you're there. You got this. Don't be pulled and influenced like your kid might be. Like, you need to be the anchor for those children. And so, or the guiding light, whatever it might be.
And as I suspected, we were going to get so far into this great conversation that we're going to run up to the end of our show here today. So, can I get you all to come back next week and we can talk? We still got three more of these norms
We
we got
still
to
have
dig
three
through.
more. We
That's
will
great. I
have that.
love this though. This is so important that digging into the weeds, as we used to say in the Army, is just so critical, and I think is going to give our parents and grandparents a greater level of comfort in having these conversations and having sometimes these very difficult conversations with their teens and their tweens. So, ladies, we'll come back next week. We'll pick up our discussion here on our community norms. I think we're going to dive into one that's going to cause some hair on the back of people's necks to stand up. Thanks again, everybody. Appreciate y'all tuning in, and come back next week here on School Spirit on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network.